We are live. Welcome to episode 64 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Skura, and we got my great co-host, Mr. Caleb Connett. Caleb, it's been a while since we did our last episode, but on this glorious day, June 2nd, 2022, we got game one of the NBA Finals. So, how are we feeling?
Man, it's been recently. This game won. Got a lot of thoughts about it. Excited to share with Matt today. You feel me? We back in the booth. It's been a minute, Matt. But yeah, man, I'm excited to be here. Excited to be on again. It's a rock out, bro. How have you been, bro? How's life been treating you? You ready for this game tonight or what?
Oh, I am definitely ready for game one of the NBA Finals tonight. I think it's going to be a great matchup between, you know, the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Got a classic West Coast versus East Coast kind of vibes, you know. It's going to be exciting. But, you know, overall, you know what? Life has been treating me good so far. You know, just finished another semester of college, so we're doing well there. And, you know, the NBA playoffs have been great. You know, we had a great
stand.
Games,
they have. They've indeed been. They have been fun to watch. Aspects, I could certainly say that.
Oh yeah, and especially seeing in round two, you know, see the upset that that the Dallas Mavericks put on the Phoenix Suns, definitely incredible to see. You also saw incredible play from Jimmy Butler, just willing the Miami Heat as far as they could go. And, you know, overall, it's going to be an exciting episode. But before we get into that, Caleb, where can the people find all the great things that you do?
You can find me on Instagram at 1CalebConnett, 1CalebConnett. And you can find me on Twitter at CalebConnett, 2. And, yeah, that's where you can find me at on Instagram and Twitter. I have a lot of links and the links in the bio. You can find a bunch more things that I've done and that I do. So that's just a little bit about where they can find me. Matt, got a question for you, bro.
What's the question?
Where can they find you at? You gotta let them know, man.
Man, you know, where people can find my stuff. My Instagram is at Matt_Skura21. Twitter at Matt_Skura. And both of those links in my bios, it has my link tree, which gives you access to this very podcast. Whether you're listening to this episode on Anchor, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it, it is available everywhere. Those are just the links that I have that you can follow me on. With that being said, let's get into the NBA playoffs. Caleb, obviously, like you and I both mentioned, this NBA playoffs has been incredible. You know, we saw some great first-round matchups. We saw some great second-round matchups, conference finals. But I want to start off first in round one, looking at all of these matchups, which series kind of stood out to you the most?
In round one, Grizzlies-Warriors. Grizzlies-Warriors, for sure, for sure. And I say that because – Ja, I wanted to see how Ja was going to do. I initially didn't think that, you know, speaking from a fan's perspective, I didn't think that.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. The Grizzlies played the Warriors in round two. So that could be a good segue into round two. But for round one, would you still stick with like Grizzlies and Timberwolves as a potential good matchup?
I mean, that was a great matchup, right? We can't. I can't say that wasn't a great matchup. But the matchup I was most looking forward to and really paying attention to, let me get to the first round at least. And on the one I was paying attention to the most was the Nuggets and the Warriors, being that I thought the Nuggets would give them more of a run for their money. I thought Jokic would play a little bit better, perform a little bit better. I thought it would be a 6-game series?
It was basically a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought the Nuggets were going to put up more of a fight, but as far as the best matchup to me in the West in the first round was definitely the Jazz and Mavericks. What about you? Like, I don't know, man. It was a lot of matchups from East to the West this first round. So which one did you watch the most?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to say the same thing as you said. Looking at between both sides, I would definitely say it would be the Mavericks and the Jazz, especially because when you look at it, Luka was out the first three games in that Jazz series. So that was kind of like one of those two, like, how are the Mavericks going to look? And it didn't look bright. They lost the first game, but Brunson played out of his mind in game two. And then, you know, game three, you know, you saw the Mavericks pull away. And then once Luka came back, that whole series changed and the Mavericks, moved on. So in that first round, I would definitely say my most intriguing matchup was the Mavericks against the Jazz. And when you look at all the other matchups, it was kind of expected. You know, if you look at the Celtics and the Nets, it was expected that Boston would beat them easily. Same thing with the Bucks and the Bulls. Same thing even with Philadelphia, Toronto. I know Philadelphia got a scare, you know, when they were up 3-0 and forced a game six, but we kind of knew what was going to happen there. Same thing with Miami, Atlanta. We kind of knew what was going to go down. Now, if I had to include another one, it would probably be the Timberwolves against the Grizzlies, just because when you look at that series, I mean, the Grizzlies, they were down double-digit points. What was it, like three times in each of those games, and they managed to come back and win? Like, those were incredible. Like, that series was fun to watch just because you saw Ja Morant help elevate his team and the Grizzlies to move on to round two. But the most intriguing series in round one has to be the Dallas Mavericks and the Utah Jazz, just because when you look at it, they're both very well balanced. Like, that was a series to where, hey, you can make a case either way. You can make a case for Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert finally getting it done, or you can make a case like, hey, you know, Luka may be out for your first three games, but once Luka gets back, the Mavericks are going to be coming.
Right.
Right. And indeed they did. With facts. That
you've seen it. Everybody's seen it.
Oh, good.
No, you got it. I was just saying, like, you know, Luka getting back in the mix, you've seen what he could do, and everybody's seen what he could do. I think it's important for him to stay healthy, though, so that he could, you know, actually take his team to the finals. But, yeah, that's a little bit about, you know, Luka and whatnot. I'll let you get it.
Yeah, it was definitely fun to see Luka Doncic. With that being said, let's move on to the round two matchups that we saw. Obviously, we heard Caleb give his answer earlier. His was the Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizzlies. And I kind of want to throw that to you, Caleb. Why do you think that the Grizzlies and the Warriors was the most intriguing matchup in round two?
I feel like Ja really put up a good fight, man. I feel like, you know, if he wouldn't have gotten injured, maybe they would have went a little farther and won that series. It was just a competitive series to watch. I think, you know, coming from a fan perspective again, I think it was a good series to see Ja and Steph duke it out. I think they both had some, some battles. So to see him duke it out was really dope. Yeah, and that's what I was looking at. And also in the East, you know, there was KD and Jason Tatum. That matchup was very good as well. I don't remember if that was a first round or a second round. Actually, that I'm checking, that's a first round. But, you know, just the matchups, man. And that's one of the reasons why I was really intrigued with Warriors versus Memphis. Just, you know, elite point guard matchup.
Mm-hmm. What about exactly.
you? But what was some Go ahead. You got it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and you could also think of it as the current best point guard in Steph Curry versus the future best point guard in John Morant. So you definitely got a lot of good in that series there.
Yes, I agree. Simply like that. The future versus the present. That's exactly what it was. And I don't know about you, man. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think it was a really good decision.
Oh, yeah.
Not a decision. I think it was a really good matchup, my bad. Really good
matchup. It absolutely was a good matchup. I am going to go on the Eastern Conference. I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics. The reason why I go with that matchup as, in my opinion, the best matchup was because I felt like whoever won that series had a great chance to make it to the NBA Finals. And look at what happened. The Boston Celtics beat the Milwaukee Bucks in 7 games. And where are the Boston Celtics at? They're playing in the NBA Finals tonight against the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, I just had a feeling. Now, you can look at it from the other side of, I think the Bucks let that series slip away. I mean, how they won Game 5 in Boston was incredible. Jrue Holiday was fantastic. You're up 3-2 going home to Milwaukee. The Bucks let it slip, but don't discount the fact that Jason Tatum, man, he played out of his mind in Game 6. I think the man dropped, whether it was 44 or 47 points, he went off in Game 6 to force a Game 7 in which the Boston Celtics ultimately won in TD Garden. I go with the Bucks and the Celtics, in my personal opinion, as that best matchup, just because I felt like whoever won that series would eventually go to the NBA Finals. Now, I will say, Caleb, between the Warriors and the Grizzlies, I think for sure that would have been my number two best matchup, because like you mentioned, it was the present versus the future. Now, I do want to throw out another thing that did happen in round two that, in my honest opinion, was completely surprising to me. And then you could give your take on it as well, Caleb. But I was very shocked that the Dallas Mavericks were able to come back and beat the Phoenix Suns. And especially with how dominant they beat the Suns in Game 7. I mean, we're talking the Mavericks were up by 46 points in Game 7. I want to kind of see your take on that, Caleb. Seeing it from like a fan perspective, you see the Mavericks, they rally back. They're down 2-0 in the series. They tie the series at 2 games apiece. They fall down 3-2. They force a Game 7. The series is incredible. It's all the buildup. And then you just see the Dallas Mavericks put on one of the greatest performances we've ever seen. And then on the flip side, we see the Phoenix Suns lay potentially one of the biggest eggs in the postseason at home. What were kind of your takes from that series and just that Game 7 overall?
Where do I even start? I don't know, man. That was just really tough. It was really tough to watch that because, again, the Suns, I thought that they would be, you know, I didn't know that they would go to the finals. I wasn't too sure on betting them there, but I definitely thought that they'd be in the Western Conference Finals. And just seeing that choke was just seeing them kind of choke that game was just not good. It was not good because Chris Paul's getting older, and if there's any older point guard that I want to see win right now, it's Chris Paul. And I just feel like, you know, being a basketball player myself, we all have bad games, or as a team, we all have bad games. And it sucks that we have those. It was the worst time of the season to have a game that they had. Obviously, we know that they're not going to perform like that, you know, often, as they've shown. They've the past 2 years, and in my eyes, they've been performing exceptionally well. They just had a bad night on an important night. So that's the best way I could put it. It sucks for Chris Paul the most, I feel like, for me, in my perspective. He's the oldest. I think, like, You know, he would love to get a championship, and I know he would love to do it now. Again, of course, I know the whole team would love to do it now, but just it just broke my heart for CP. I know Devin, and I know DeAndre, and who knows, other people on the roster. They'll be back. They might come back and run it back together. But my next question, my question to you, Matt, is what do they do with Aiden?
Man, I think if I'm the Phoenix Suns, I feel like you have to extend him, because you look at the center market, and it's kind of like, what else is there? Like, who else are you gonna get? Who else are you gonna get that's gonna produce the same level as eight? I mean, you can maybe make an argument for Rudy Gobert, but what would you be willing to trade the Utah Jazz to get him? And I think you have to look at it from a standpoint of, if you're the Phoenix Suns, can you find a center that is better than DeAndre Ayton, either in the free agency market? I just don't think you can. And I think when you look at it, if I'm the Phoenix Suns, obviously you're gonna have to match whatever DeAndre Ayton is gonna be given, because he's a restricted free agent. So you have the option to either match it or let it walk. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're Phoenix, you have to bite the bullet and take it. Because you look at it from a standpoint, yes, you won 64 games, and obviously you fell short, you know, in round two of the playoffs. But this is kind of like your best chance. This is like your best chance at, you know, your duo or a big three. You have Booker. We know Chris Paul is playing well, but how long can he keep it up? I mean, he's played through, this was his either 16th or 17th year. He's 37 years old. Can he maintain the consistency? You know, time will tell. And even when you look at it, if you want to do a sign and trade for DeAndre Ayton, fine, accept it and then trade him somewhere else. But you have to bring him back. And I would honestly say maybe even give him another chance, give him another opportunity. Because you look at how the Phoenix Suns are, the Phoenix Suns are still going to be a team that's going to compete in the Western Conference. I know the Western Conference is only going to get better, you know, with the likes of Golden State, where they're at right now. You look at Memphis and how on the rise they are. You look at the Dallas Mavericks on what they've been able to do. You look at Phoenix, if you can't bring back DeAndre Ayton, or you let DeAndre Ayton walk in free agency, you've been a top two seed the last 2 years. I'm sorry, you're going to take a hit. And if you're Phoenix, and if you're going to be like a 4 to a 6 seed, which you could very easily be at if you don't have DeAndre Ayton, you're going to be at best a second round appearance year in and year out, and probably won't have enough to get over the hump. And it's a shame for me to say that, because I look at, like you mentioned, Caleb, with Chris Paul, I really wanted to see him get a ring. I truly did. I thought last year was his best chance to win a ring when they were up 2-0 against the Milwaukee Bucks and they lost it. I thought that was his best chance, and he wasn't never going to get another chance again. And then seeing how well the Suns played this year, getting 64 wins, up 2-0 in the series again, and then to lose it like that, and then to play – it's one thing to have a bad Game 7. Chris Paul has had bad Game 7s in the past. It has happened. But I have never seen a performance so bad from Chris Paul and from a team collectively – like I saw out of the Phoenix Suns. Like we'll even talk about in the conference finals, at least the Miami Heat put up a fight against the Boston Celtics in Game 7. They were down double digits. They came back, and Butler did everything he could to come back in that Game 7. Now, they fell short, but the comeback was there. You look at in that Game 7 between the Suns and the Mavericks, when the Mavericks were up by 30 at halftime, you knew, like, this game is over. Like, this game is a wrap. The Suns are getting blown out by 30 at home at halftime. You're not coming back from that. And it was an all-around bad collective game. And like you mentioned, Caleb, it was a bad time to have a bad game and potentially the worst moment. But, you know, the Suns got a lot of digging to do. And the first step is they're going to have to bite the bullet and re-sign DeAndre Ayton. Because in my honest opinion, you're not going to get a better center in the free agent market besides DeAndre Ayton. It's just pure and simple. Now, you're going to have to try to offer him now before teams offer him the max that they can get. because obviously if they offer him the highest, you're going to have to match it. So you might as well get to the curb early, give him an extension. And then if he says no, see what other teams offer and then match that. So we'll see what happens there. But you look at the Phoenix Suns. You look at the Phoenix Suns. The last 2 years, man, they've missed, and they've missed badly, because very, very rarely will you see another chance like the Phoenix Suns have had the last 2 years to get a chip. Like the last 2 years, this was their best shot. They had their shot against Milwaukee up 2-0. They missed that shot, and they missed it badly. They had their shot this year. They win 64 games, and they get bounced in the second round in game 7. Who knows what will happen in the next season? But you look at those two missed chances, and you got to think, damn, if that could have been it. That could have been a window of opportunity, and it shut. Now, who knows? I'm not going to doubt the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul, because I thought they were done last year, and they proved me wrong this year, won 64 games. But, man, those are some tough losses to have. Man, when you're up 2-0 in the finals and lose it, and then this year up 2-0, up 3-2 against the Mavericks, and you lose game 7 that badly, oh, it leaves a sour taste. It leaves a sour taste right now.
So, yeah, man, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. I definitely agree. I think just to go back to your point with Aiden, I think it could be beneficial for them to re-sign him. You know, obviously, there might not be any guys on his caliber on the market. And I think really that, I don't know, like, you know, I think Gobert would be good. Of course, he's not going to add that that offensive spark. But I think, you know, like you said, give Aiden another chance and maybe, you know, restructure the offense. I think if the offense, he's a little bit more involved in the offense, or they're intentional with giving him touches at certain times of the game, I think that could really help him improve. And it'll take the weight off of Chris Paul. That's what they're going to have to do. If they do keep him or whoever they bring in, like I'm at the point where if I'm trading a star, instead of getting a star back for a star, like a star for a star type of deal, I would rather give me three good role players. Give me a center and two other guards, or two other whatever, you know, forwards or you know, guards, whatever it might be. I think that can make them an even deeper team. They already are deep, but if they're going to just keep their big three, then they're definitely going to have to be intentional with getting Aiden the ball. And, you know, if they do sign him for a long time on a big contract, then they're definitely going to have to be intentional with you know, what they do with Aiden, because they're going to lock him up for 3 or 4 years. So that means they're riding with D-Book and Aiden for 3 more years. And honestly, I don't know if Booker is mad. I'm sure you have who you have, you know. But it's crazy how Devin Booker and Luka Doncic, Luka could have been on the same team right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it would have been crazy indeed. With that being said, let's move on to the conference finals. You look at it was between the Warriors and the Mavericks. We saw what happened there. Golden State beating them in 5 games. And then we saw the Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics, the Celtics winning that series in 7 games. You look at between those two matchups, which one was the most intriguing to you, Caleb, and why?
The most intriguing to me was Miami and Boston, because I felt like they both had enough on each side to compete with each other. So that's why I would say, you know, Miami and Boston is a series that I looked at, because, you know, Miami made it to the playoffs 2 years ago. I mean, made it to the finals 2 years ago. Boston's been knocking at the door for a couple of years now. So it was just a good measuring stick of who's who and where teams are at in the East. And, yeah, that's the series I was looking at. What about you?
You know what's funny was I was looking at that same exact series, I was looking at the Heat and the Celtics because I thought it was a great matchup, one. And then, two, you look at – it's a rematch of 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the Celtics and the Heat played each other in the bubble Eastern Conference Finals, and that series was electric. Like, that series went back and forth. You saw Adebayo make a great block on Tatum in that bubble. It was incredible to see. And then you also look at it from a matchup of it's the one seed and the two seed. Those are the kind of matchups that you want in the conference finals. You want the best of the best to play. And when you see the kind of the series the Celtics had around two against the Bucks, they forced to seven, they win in game seven. And then between the Heat and then when they played the Sixers around two, you saw the Heat take command up 2-0. And B comes back. They tie the series at two and then winning the next two games. This series was an incredible matchup, especially when you got star players. You got Tatum versus Jimmy Butler. You got Brown versus Adebayo. You got Marcus Smart and then Tyler Hero. You had all these big three pieces. And when you look at it, the Boston Celtics, they ultimately got it done. And what's crazy about that series, Caleb, is there wasn't really a lot of close games until game seven. It was very lopsided. Like each game, like you would see Miami dominate game one, and then you see the Celtics dominate game two. You would then see the Celtics dominate game three, the Heat dominate game four. You then would see the Celtics dominate game five, and then Jimmy Butler plays out of his mind in game six to force game seven. And then you saw game seven get very back and forth. The Heat were down double digits. And Jimmy Butler plays incredible. Now, one thing I will say, I think if you were to give I know they gave like conference finals MVP awards. They gave the Magic Johnson Western Conference MVP award to Steph Curry, and they gave the Larry Bird conference MVP to Jason Tatum. But you can make a valid argument. If you were allowed to give it to the losing team, you could have made a great argument that Jimmy Butler had a really good chance to get that Larry Bird Conference Finals MVP trophy. Just because what he was able to do for the Miami Heat in that series was ultimately incredible. I mean, the way how he willed his team back, seeing game six dropping 47 points, doing everything he can, and then almost the same thing in game seven, dropping almost 40 points. And just to fall a little short, you know, it sucks to see that. But one thing I will think everybody can agree upon is Jimmy Butler is now in the superstar class of the NBA. Because you saw what he's done the last 3 years in Miami, going to the Eastern Conference Finals two times in 3 years, NBA Finals once, pushing a healthy Lakers team in the bubble to six games with basically him and an injured Dragic and Adebayo, just pushing the limit on that team in 2020. Obviously, 2021, they got swept by the Bucks, but they eventually went on to win the championship. And then you look at this year, wills his team again to the conference finals, pushes the Celtics, rallies them to seven games. I think he's going to be up there for the superstar level. And I think it's going to be very exciting to see. And you also look at for the Miami Heat, it's now kind of a what next? Because you got Butler, you got Adebayo, and then it's kind of who else? Yeah, Tyler Hero, he won Sixth Man of the Year, but he was very on and off. You know, he had injuries, and then when he played, sometimes he didn't have good games. But, you know, time will tell. But I think what we can all walk away from is – that the Boston Celtics finally got over the hump with their young crew. I mean, you look at the Tatum-Brown-Smart connection between those three guys. They made it to three Eastern Conference Finals, and they finally got over the hump. And one other player I like to mention is Al Horford. What a career Al Horford has had. I mean, you look at his great tenure with the Atlanta Hawks. He was a great power forward there. He goes to Boston the first time, does great, goes to Philadelphia, then gets traded back to Boston. I mean, you look at Caleb, this man has been in the NBA 15, 16 years. He's been He's been incredible. Now he finally gets a chance in the NBA Finals. And I only hate it just for the fact that it's the Boston Celtics.
Exactly.
But I just think from an Al Horford perspective, he finally has the opportunity to get the ring, as he rightfully does, because he had to go through – he couldn't go through LeBron when he was with the Atlanta Hawks in the East. Now he has a chance to get a ring, and we'll see what happens from there. But you look at the Boston Celtics, man, they got a chance. Now, who knows what will happen against Golden State, but, man, oh, man, when they are fully healthy – They could go toe-to-toe with anybody.
Yeah, they definitely got a chance. Definitely. I agree. But I just, like I was saying this from a fan's perspective, I just think, like, they're young. Mind you, they've been in the conference finals, Smart, Tatum, Brown, and those boys. I just think they're young. And they also have experience with Horford. But I think they're young. They haven't really played in this type of atmosphere yet. This is going to be top intensity, pure intensity from, you know, when the ball goes up into the last second. So I think that I don't know. I just feel like it'll get in the way and overwhelm them a bit, which will allow the Warriors to, you know, ultimately come on top in the series. But I'm definitely like how you mentioned Al Horford, him getting an opportunity to go for the ring is huge, because you're right. Like, he was there. He couldn't get through LeBron. He left, went to Philly. That didn't work out. Atlanta, he had a huge run there. So, and to see him come leave Boston, go to Philly, come back to Boston, get where he is now, it's a beautiful thing to see, man. It's kind of like what happened with Dwight Howard. Dwight was at the Lakers 2010, didn't work out, came back 2020, won a ring, you know? So, this is dope for Horford, that, and I hope that he reaps the ring for that reason. But I just ultimately, I think the Warriors will win. And like you said, I'd hate to say this because it's Boston, and I can't root for Boston because I'm a Laker fan. I grew up a Laker fan, so I'm just gonna leave that there. I'm wishing for a good series, though. I'm wishing for a good series. I want to see somebody win in seven. I'll be all right with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So now that we got your take for the NBA Finals, you think Warriors in seven?
Yeah. What you think? What do you think, Matt?
Man, what do I think? I think it's going to be Warriors in six. The reason why I think it's Warriors in six is I feel like this series is going to go back and forth. I think they split the two games at Golden State. I think they split the two games in Boston. But I think when it comes to game five, I think the more championship experienced team is going to get it done in game five, and that's Golden State Warriors. And I think game six Klay is going to show up in Boston. And I think game six Klay is going to put on a clinic. And that's why I think the Warriors are going to win it in six games. Those are Caleb and I's NBA Finals predictions. But I would also like to predict game one, which is tonight. Game one tonight, it's at the Chase Center in San Francisco. You got the Boston Celtics going up against the Golden State Warriors. Caleb, do you think the Boston Celtics shock the Warriors and take game one? Or do you think the Golden State Warriors take care of business and they go up 1-0 in the series?
Yeah. I think tonight, Boston takes game one. I mean, not Boston. I think the Warriors take game one. And I was going to say Oracle, but Chase Center. And I think that they win by within 10 points. No less than 10.
Ooh, no less than 10. All right. I see the good prediction there. I agree as well. I think the Golden State Warriors take game one. I feel like they've had a lot more rest. Now, you could play the argument that the Boston Celtics are more game ready because they just got off of a game seven victory just a couple days ago, and they're more in game shape. But when you just look at it, man, it's game one. It's in the Chase Center. It's the first time Chase Center is hosting the NBA Finals with the Golden State Warriors in it, because obviously we know during the Warriors dynasty, it was all in the mix of Oracle Arena, you know, the great Oracle Arena there. But I think the San Francisco is going to be rocking. I think the Boston Celtics are going to be a little nervous because they've never been in the NBA Finals before with that young core. So I think it's going to be a little nervous jitters, and I feel like the Warriors and their NBA Finals experience, I think they're going to take game one. But I do not believe that the Celtics will have a bad game two. I could feel like the Celtics could bounce back in game two, but I do believe round one tonight, I think the Golden State Warriors get it done. And this may be a little shocking, but I want to be shocked if it's a little bit more than double digits. If it's like a 10-15 point victory over the Warriors, I would not be shocked if that were to happen. Just because the Warriors, they got experience. I feel like they will take care of business in game one. But like you mentioned earlier, Caleb, I too hope for an exciting series. And I just hope, God, I hope that the Celtics don't get banner 18. Because if they get championship number 18, oh, man, it's gonna be something, because now we won't be tied at 17. And, you know, and then it'll just be the same young core, just going to be dominant all over again. You know, we'll see what happens. Let's hope we get a good game one. Both Caleb and I agree that the Warriors will take game one. But Caleb has Warriors in seven. I got Warriors in six. And with that being said, those are Caleb and I's thoughts on the NBA playoffs, what we believe the NBA playoffs went. Had a great first three rounds. And also great. Caleb and I's thoughts on the NBA Finals. We hope for an exciting series. And we both hope that the Golden State Warriors, the only time I think you and I can both hope that the Golden State Warriors win an NBA championship. With that being said, that will conclude this fantastic episode 64 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Before we conclude, though, Caleb, once again, where can the people find all the great things that you do?
Man, before I even let y'all know, man, it was a pleasure hopping back on with you, Mike. I mean, Matt, I'm so sorry. Like I said, in the episode,
sometimes I feel like Magic Mike, but you never know. It's summertime. It's June. It's different, but hey, carry on.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, man, they can find me on Instagram at one Caleb Connant, one CalebConant. They can find me on Twitter at CalebConant2, and you can find the link tree in the bio for other things too. You dig that, Matt? Where can I find you?
Yes, sir. We dig that indeed. You can find my Twitter at Matt_Scura. Check out my Instagram at Matt_Scura21. In both of those bios, you can find access to my link tree, which will give you access to this very podcast. You can find it available on Anchor. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. You name it, it's where you can find your podcast. It will be available on there as well. Let's hope for a fantastic NBA Finals. Let's hope for a fantastic game one tonight. This is Matt Skura. We got my great co-host, Caleb Connant. We are signing off on this fantastic June 2nd, 2022.
Deuces.